six, you get an approval for 6 months. And if nobody's in here with the hair on fire and everybody's getting along, okay, you have it now for the duration until the place sells, because it's not transferable.
Is that open for discussion? It's a public hearing. Might I speak on the matter?
I didn't hear that.
Are you open to any comments on the matter?
You want to let him speak, Bob?
I mean, you're the chairman, but I don't have an issue with it. I mean, I put it on the...
You deal with it every day.
I did. Actually, the local board appointed me as the chairman of a task force to analyze nightly rentals as they exist in Taney County. I've actually talked to the folks up in Camden County and I've talked to local attorneys, and we're attempting to try to find a better way forward than what's happening now. 280 million nights rented on Airbnb in 2015, and they're expecting that to more than triple, you know, this year. And I just think that if we don't get on top of it fast and do something restrictive and progressive, that it's just going to get away from us. And what we were attempting to do was go to places where they have already have successful models, so that we don't have to scratch our heads and figure out what the best plan is. These three counties already have successful models. Why not adopt some of those? And I've sent a few of those to Bob. It doesn't, for example, Austin, Texas. If you want to apply for a nightly rental, there's three different types of application. Are you a host? Are you going to rent out a room or a basement? Or do you live in the county and you're renting it out? Or are you an absentee? Do you live out of state, out of the county, and you want to rent it out? It's one of those three different applications. And each year you have to submit an application similar to how it is in Branson. I own nightly rentals in Branson. You have to submit a merchant's license, a business license, and that comes with an annual renewal. Well, in Austin, Texas, and a lot of the Sonoma counties and California and places like that, they actually have an on-site complaint process so that you guys don't have to get involved in it. Bob's staff wouldn't have to get involved in it. Actually, what you do is they provide a list of all the owners of nightly rentals and their contact information. So if you're living next door and there's an all-night, you know, beer-soaked party, you just look online and you find out that owner and you call them. And you say, hey, there's a party. Can you calm it down? That way it doesn't elevate to the county level. We don't have to get the cops involved. If that owner doesn't respond within 1 hour, and when you fill out the template form online, you check the box and say, yes, I did call. No, they did not respond within an hour. Then it gets logged in the county as a complaint. And if that person gets logged, continues to get logged in complaints, then their application for renewal can be denied because they're clearly not taking any responsibility for their business, right? So that's just one option that we could use to regulate some of the things that you're suggesting, which I think is a good idea. I'm also with Rick. I think that Rick is absolutely right. I think that you definitely need to have an enforcement code, if for no other reason, to honor the people that are doing it correctly. And
that's
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help develop that, to donate time or get, you know, brain power involved to make it happen. In reference to Branson Creek, you know, there are about four different CCNRs, four different subdivisions out there, right? And two of them, they allow nightly rentals, but in others, they don't. So in the case of these two ladies, we have this tribal mentality, right? These two ladies purchased in an area where the CCNRs allowed it, got upset because there was 14 people that showed up at the pool one day, are retired, don't have anything better to do, and decide they want to shut the whole thing down. Well, if that happens, you've got 29 owners, you know, that did do due diligence, that found out that their nightly rental was approved in the area after talking to the county, after talking to the HOA. You're going to have 29 individual lawsuits from people who are attempting to run their business correctly.
Well, that's inaccurate, actually.
Is it?
In the CCRs.
Okay.
The developer put it out there that called it as nightly rentals, but the CCRs did not specifically allow that.
In the Fieldstone and Pinnacle?
Pinnacles, I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, thanks for letting me comment.
Back to you, sure.
Well,
it's a bad situation. We have to look at what comes in front of us, like you said, one at a time.
I've been saying for the last year it was going to get out of hand, and it's about to that point, in my opinion.
I think Jeremy's got a good suggestion that we don't start from scratch. We find one that works, that we like, that we can kind of use as a go-by, and then go ahead and develop ours and run up by the powers to be and see what can happen.
Haven't we done that? Haven't you put that in front of the commission and they have not really responded?
I haven't yet. I mean, I've got a draft set of zoning regulations and a more traditional form of zoning right now. My hope is, like I said, is to and like I said, I've really kind of put together two versions at this point. Right now, what I've looked at up to this point is having certain zoning districts that would potentially allow nightly rental by right, certain zoning districts that would still require a conditional use permit. But I don't know. I mean, I've put something together at this point, but I don't know how it's going to be received, you know.
Well, you're all tired of hearing me harp on it, but I think it's going to be a nightly rental. It's a motel, and it'll be commercial. And it'll be taxed accordingly.
Yeah, but we don't have any control over the tax.
I know. I guess we could go beat the assessor over the head.
Well, he's changing a little bit. He's changing.
And he has amended his approach,
but
I know.
He's probably not going after these 1,200.
He is. Chuck is actually part of our task force, yeah. And we've handled that progressively, too. I mean, he's sending out letters. And he's just started with condos, but in 2017 he's going to begin with single-family homes. He sends out a letter to all of those homeowners. And if they don't respond to that letter saying how many nights they rent, he taxes the whole thing 100% commercial. And I know I've gotten them, and I made the mistake of not responding because it's none of their business, and he taxed me 100% commercial. So I know now next year to go ahead and fill out the number of nights that I rent on average, and then he'll tax you on that percentage of commercial use. Because the property is available for residential use as well, your personal use, and your friends and family and everything. So it's kind of a hybrid commercial and residential property. But Chuck, he's tackling it.
Yeah.
So
I think Bob pushed him into doing that.
Well, good.
We've had quite a few conversations, but I didn't know.
If you've got 1,200 nightly rentals out there, and you charge everybody $175 a year for that annual permit, that's $300,000 worth of revenue.
That'll pay for that third person to work in.
Absolutely, that'll pay for your enforcement guy. And I'm telling you, these owners will pay it. It's a lucrative business. You do it right.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
For bringing that up, yeah.
Well, and it might even weed out some of them. Somebody finds out their taxes are going to, nearly double?
Well, not with the kind of money they make. That's minimal.
Right.
They make a lot of money on that.
They make tons of money.
Then it needs to be triple.
And see, Chuck is just taking that as what you tell him you're going to rent for. He doesn't ask to prove anything.
Right.
You say you rented it for 3 months, you know, or 20 days a month for 3 months, and that's 60 days, and, you know, that's...
Well, what Chuck is doing is actually progressive and somewhat fair because...
They all have it documented, yeah.
Yeah, and there's other counties that are just taxing it 100% commercial, and there's other counties where attorneys have gotten involved, and you can't. I mean, if you try to tax every nightly rental owner in Caney County at 100% commercial, you're going to have a lawsuit because other counties have done it, and they've got attorneys involved, and they won't allow it because there's a definition there. Is it commercial or is it not commercial? That's kind of a hybrid. It's like, it's the same thing as Uber. This is the world we live in now. We live in this space snaptogram economy, right? Is an Uber driver, is a guy who works a 40-hour-a-week job at a newspaper office and gets in his car and wants to drive people around and make a little bit of money, is he a taxi driver? Should he be licensed and regulated like a taxi driver is? Or is he just a residential dude making a little money on the side? I don't have an answer for that.
I don't think anybody does at this point.
That's going to be a federal problem.
Yeah, so this is kind of the thing that we live in. Now, what we've done with the task force is we've tried to appeal to the hotel owners and say, we don't want any special privileges. Whatever you guys have to do, we're willing to do in terms of being tax commercial and all of those things. But all of that, I mean, we pay our sales tax to the state as well. But
you know, as far as Missouri lodging laws go, once you get to four rooms or more, then you're sort of, you fall under Missouri lodging laws. And there's a whole other set of regulations that that unit owner should adhere to. Whether they are or not, we don't know.
Well, they're not.
Well, and it gets strange. In conversations with the health department early on, I had some questions for them because of that four-room law. Mm-hmm. And I said, how do you guys view a five-bedroom nightly rental house? And they said, well, we're not going to view it as falling under that law because we view it as one house or one unit, even if it has five bedrooms. It's kind of the way they're
not four separate individually rented rooms.
That's the way they're interpreting it. That's the way the local health department, anybody,
I'd go along with that.
Yeah.
Because you don't have five different entities in the building.
And so that's the way they've looked at it. And so unless you have five or four or more, I guess, is it more than four or four that are rented separately, they just view it essentially as one unit, one house that's for rent. So, yeah, that's so I've kind of gotten into some of that, too.
Well, I would suggest that everybody do some thinking about this. And then we'll discuss it more next Monday, Bob.
Well, I'm not going to be here next Monday, but I'd like to let my opinion be known about what's in front of us right now. And I would have to say to deny it. And everybody can take that as they want. I won't be able to be here to vote.
Oh, on the house?
Next Monday.
Well, we'll take that in note.
I don't think you can vote for it unless it gets the restrictions.
Well, absolutely.
And that's plat adopted the same restrictions that were first applied to the first phase.
And it said that it carried on to the second set. So.
Yeah.
And we got lots of neighbors that don't like it. And I'm a known Confederate. I figure if it's your place, you ought to be able to do what you want, as long as it doesn't injure your neighbor.
Well, the other problem about this house is the shared driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And because that other house, he may sell it someday. His daughter's living in it.
Yeah.
And when it sells, we've got another problem. Yeah, or somebody's got another problem.
Ain't enough driveway there.
Not enough driveway there.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second
Oh, third.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh.